You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King in Off-Road Minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
Welcome to In the Key of Change Chats. Today's chat is with Youngblood from DC9. Let's give it a listen because it's time for a change. This is Jackie and I'm back here again with Youngblood. We're at DC9.
DC9, baby.
It's been a few minutes. The last time we chatted was July, like right after your album dropped on Warped Tour.
Crazy.
Virginia Beach. What are some of the highlights of your summer? That had to have been a crazy summer.
Yeah, man, that was mental. Like that, it was kind of crazy. Just the amount of growth we had in just such a small amount of time. Do you know what I mean? I just couldn't believe it. Like we were turning up, especially like on Warped Tour in cities everywhere. And then we went to Australia and everything was mobbed. And it's kind of just been that way ever since. Like, I can't believe it. Like it's just weird. I like look at the boys as well. I'm like, is this real, man? Do you know what I mean? Like we drop new merch. It sells out in a minute. Or we announce shows and they're in March and they're about to sell out. And you know what I mean? It's just kind of crazy. Like, I can't believe like how quickly it's moving. And I'm just grateful, man. It's madness.
So how do you think Warped Tour affected, tonight's sold out.
Yeah.
You've got a ton of sold out shows.
Pretty much the whole tour. And I think it was so integral to that because it gave me an outlet to go to places that ain't just Chicago, New York, DC, 3 dates in Texas and LA. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be, oh, we're going to do 3 dates and then just forget about the rest of the country. Do you know what I mean? It's like, America's a big place, man. It's like Europe. It's like everywhere. It's like every continent, man. It's like, all I care about is meeting people and connecting people and trying to connect to as many people as I can. Do you know what I mean? That's just what I'm about. So being able to do Warped Tour and go to 35 places and on this tour go to 30 places was important to me, you know what I mean?
And the last time we talked, 21st Century Liability had just dropped. Where did you pull inspiration from when you wrote the songs on that album?
It was an accumulation of just everything that I felt growing up. Do you know what I mean? I think everything that went on in my head and everything that I felt and saw and was going on around me growing up and kind of all my life to this moment. Do you know what I mean? And initially it was about me. Initially, it was about me saying, this is what I'm seeing in the world and this is my opinion. I'm just going to get it out there. But the more and more it kind of connected and I saw people really connecting to it, like abnormally, like getting tattoos of every song on the record, like, and then getting the Black Heart tattoos. I think there's over like 4,000 now, which is just fucking mad. It became less and less about me. And it became more and more about Youngblood ain't just me. Youngblood ain't just the artist. It's the community that's been built. Do you know what I mean? That's what I always kind of wanted. You know what I mean? Because I grew up on like bands like My Chemical Romance and Oasis and Lady Gaga, Marilyn Manson. These artists, Bowie, that were more than just an artist. It's a brand, it was a culture, it was a way of doing things. I mean, you'd wear your hair like that because Bowie wore his hair like that. Or, do you know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't just me and them. It's we. Do you know what I mean? I want it to be we, not me and them.
I like that sentiment. So how much of the album is autobiographical versus other outside influences?
I mean, everything always comes from a real place because I just can't write about what I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Even if I make up a story behind it or I enhance it artistically or whatever, I can't write about something I've got no clue about. I remember an English teacher said to me in school, so funny, right? But my English teacher said to me, I was doing this essay and I loved English, I loved history, I loved drama, I loved music, I love anything where I could create and shit. Do you know what I mean? I was writing a poem on the fucking desert or something. And my English teacher knew I was really into poetry and words and shit. And he was, and it was just shit. I was getting, I should have been getting like an A for it, and I got like a fucking C. And he was like, I was like, why? And he was like, brother, you're writing about the fucking desert. Like, have you ever been to a desert? I'm like, no, I haven't. And he was like, no. So then I literally wrote about a park near my house, which me and my mates would go and smoke 40 a day at like 13 years old. Do you know what I mean? And like have bottles of Frosty Jack cider and stuff like that. And it wasn't ethically school friendly, but I wrote it and I got an A for it because it was about something I knew and it was believable. And I knew what the fucking pavement looked like when I put a cigarette butt out on it. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, that kind of taught me something. Write about what you know, or at least make it come from a real place. Because if you're lying out there, then I'm really fucking scared for you. You know what I mean? If you're lying and you're fake and you're putting something on and there's 1,000 people listening to your every word, then I feel scared for you.
I don't think it's that durable. And you know,
it'll fade. It'll fade. If it's not real, it'll fade. And that's what I mean. That's all I ever want to be. Because I think there's a lot of bullshit in the world right now. And I just want to be real as I can.
Appreciate that. So are you drawn specifically to issues surrounding like mental health, anxiety, ADHD or depression? Or is it just sort of like, again, you're pulling from.
Totally. That's just what I feel. I don't want to go, I'm going to write about anxiety because I think that's what needs to be written about. You know what I mean? I think a lot of fucking, I was thinking about a song title the other day. I mean, I want to write a song called like Selling Misery. Because a lot of artists write about that because it sells. And I just fucking think that's awful. I think that's just a load of bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to write about what I write about because it's me writing about it. Do you know what I mean? I just think I don't want to tell people what to think. I don't want to write something because I think it's going to connect to a load of people. I'm just going to write what I know. And what I've seen or what I've heard, like, for example, on some of the new music I'm writing, it's like, it's more about people I've met and people I've talked to. So I'm writing a lot more in third person stories, which is exciting because I've met people and they've taught me something about my life and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Because the fan base right now is so close and connected and strong. That's what I've been experiencing for the last 6 months. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to write about something I've not been experiencing because then it's not real and people see that through that a mile off. You know what I mean?
And I think your fans really appreciate that you're so accessible.
Oh, totally. And that's it, man. It's like, I want to defeat a barrier between an artist and a fan base. Even if it gets that big one day where I can't meet 3,000 people, I'll stand at the barrier for 15 minutes and meet as many of them as I can. Do you know what I mean? That's what I want to do after every show. Like, even if I play the fucking O2 or Madison Square Garden or something, I want Youngblood's going to fucking meet his fans at the barrier. It's like, what? In Madison Square Garden? It's like, yeah, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? I just want to do that because it's not about fucking selling records or whatever or fucking private jets or whatever for me. You know what I mean? It's about fucking playing music I love and connecting and feeling like for the first time in my life, my voice has been heard. You know what I mean? And people in the audience feeling that too. That's the most powerful thing, you know?
I would agree with that. I think that that's what I think a lot of fans connect to. Why do you think it's easy for some people to sort of dismiss issues dealing with anxiety and mental health and depression?
Because they don't understand them. I think there's a generational difference because, I don't know, 20 years ago, it was stiff upper lip, get on with it. Bingo. Do you know what I mean? That was what it was. That was what it was.
Stop crying, toughen up, be a man.
Right, yeah, be a man, toughen up. Whereas now it's finally been taken seriously. Do you know what I mean? And I think everyone has an element of anxiety and depression inside them. That's just human life, you know. But I think some struggle more than others, and that's it, man. It's like I just didn't understand it when I first figured it out in my head. I was like, oh my god, this is so frightening. And that's why I just released a Kill Somebody video and people were like, wow, it's quite uncomfortable. I was like, yeah, it is fucking uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, that's what art's supposed to do, isn't it, right? Like, it's supposed to make someone who would never normally understand what someone else is going through just tap into that world for 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, is it uncomfortable to watch? Is it triggering sometimes? Yeah, it is. But you know what's worse than that? Someone not understanding what you're going through. Someone going, oh, it's just a phase. Oh, it's just, nah, it's not real. Do you know what I mean? That's what I wanted to do to bring awareness to the subject because that video is how anxiety and depression looks like it feels in my stomach. Do you know what I mean? That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do with it. I didn't want it to be just a video. I wanted it to be, fuck, man, that's intense. Everyone's been very loud in this dressing room.
It's all good. So I think media, at least in 2018, is starting to get better with recognizing that, you know, we're all human and things like that. Your music even got into 13 Reasons Why, which kind of deals with that. How did that come about?
It was literally like I had a song that called, it was initially called Cigarettes, but then we called it Falling Skies. That I would just never, I would just wrote it because I wanted to. And it was a bit more poppy than usual. I don't know, because with me, I just fucking write what I write. And people are like, is that Youngblood? I'm like, well, I fucking wrote it. So yeah, it is. Do you know what I mean? I never want to be like, oh, Youngblood's this. You know what I mean? I get pissed off when people are like, oh man, I miss the old punk shit. Or, oh man, why can't you sing more like Polygraph Eyes? I'm like, listen, I'm just going to fucking be free. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to do... Doing the same song twice for me is a failure. Do you know what I mean? I failed.
And doing the same song for 12 songs on an album is boring.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly right. And that song came about and I didn't know when I'd release it. I didn't know what album I'd put it on. And they were looking for unreleased music and they got it. I think someone at my label played it over a fucking lunch or something. I don't fucking know. And they just were like, what is this? And it was like Youngblood, and it was like, oh, we love Youngblood, like we love what he's talking about, etc. And then, yeah, it got on there. I was like, whoa, that's cool.
And that's actually not your first kind of venture on TV.
No.
How did you get on the Disney Channel?
Oh.
Let's bring it way back.
Yeah, man, bring it. It was either that or sucking dick at King's Cross Station.
Fair enough.
No, I'm joking. It was just kind of like I'd moved out of London at 16. To just pursue a career in entertainment.
I was going to say, you've been performing. You know it's not just music.
I always wanted to do whatever it was. You know what I mean? I was always into music. Music was always kind of my like main thing. But at the end of the day, man, art and stuff that can't facilitate itself. Do you know what I mean? It's like I was skint in London and that came along and I was like, they offered me a load of money, more money than I'm on now. And I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be, this could be cool. And I did it, and I met some amazing people, and it was cool for a second, and then they asked me about a couple more series. I was like, nah, I'm not interested. I've done that now, and it was amazing because I got money and I got to be set up in London and I didn't have to work a job. I could fucking sit down and write songs 12 hours a day.
It was
total catalyst, and I would never hide that. That's why I'm so open. I'm not like, ooh, shut up, don't talk about that thing, because that's just part of me, man. I did it, and I'm glad I did it, because it made me realize what I was as an artist. I wasn't gonna conform because of money. Do you know what I mean? I didn't want to be like, fuck it, I'll do it because of the money.
And I kind of feel like your artistic skills, you know, be it musical and theatrical, kind of come together and Kill Somebody. Who came up with the treatment for that one?
It was like a very close, like me and a kid called Hunter Simmons, who was an intern at my label. Everyone was like, oh man, you need to work with this creative department who have fucking done Everybody. But then I just met this intern. I was like, I like that one. Can I work it with him? And they were like, yeah, whatever you want. And then we just kind of, he's a kid who gets me, like, really, like, creatively really gets me. And I was like, I want to do something a little like the Yonkers video by Tyler the Creator. I was like, I want to strip it back, because Medication and Psychotic Kids has been so crazy. I just want it to be a visual depiction of depression. And then we started spitballing, and I was in the studio at the time, and I always like, when I'm in the studio, I always like having people around, because I can do like a constant stream of creativity. Do you know what I mean? So I'll be working on a song and I'm bored of the fucking song for 10 minutes and I'll go and work on a video idea or design a t-shirt or draw a picture. I'm like a fucking 10-year-old in the corner. Do you know what I mean? But it's always that. So I come back to ideas that always are circulating. And he just showed me some pictures he'd drawn. I was like, I love this. And then he was like, well, what about if we had your shadow moving? And I was like, that's amazing. And then what about if the shadow killed itself? And we're bouncing off each other's ideas, and then it's like, well, what about if they kill somebody, there's a gun to your head, and then it's you? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, that's what I said. He was like, that's fucking amazing. And yeah, we just did it in a studio ourselves one day.
So what songs on the album are the most cathartic for you to perform live?
Kill Somebody, I think, is pretty, because I usually am pretty focused when I got on stage. I'm usually pretty in the zone.
I feel like that's the time you are focused.
That's weird. That's the time I completely emotionally become a fucking wreck. Do you know what I mean? Especially when they're singing every word, because I can hear them. There's no drums. There's no guitars. There's no... It's the moment where you kind of go like, I kind of open the door for you to see my soul for a second, and then I close and I'm calling you a dickhead again 2 minutes later. Do you know what I mean? That one, I think Polygraph Eyes is so important to me. I just kind of like the reaction to that every night is amazing. And Marry Me, everyone knows it. It's like the song in the world that everyone fucking knows. But what's weird then is right now they know every fucking lyric to every song. Like tonight, everything is crazy. And I don't know, man, it changes. Like, I love playing Dr. Doctor. Loads of shit, man.
It was interesting on the 6 stops that I covered on Warped Tour. It was interesting because every time I would see your set, there would be more people and there would be more kids singing along to your songs and stuff.
It was mad. It was like, it just grew. And I was speaking to Kevin Lyman, who runs it. Like, me and Kevin got really close. And he just says, yeah, he said, I've seen it before. And he's like, we started in St. Louis with like 100 kids. And then 2 weeks later, we're getting 600 kids a day.
So because you have such a great fan base, I decided to post a question to one of your Facebook fan groups. And I said,
I love that.
I said, if I chat with Dan tomorrow, what would you want me to ask?
So I love that.
I grabbed just a couple of good ones. It was hard to kind of, there was too many, but we can sit here and talk all night. But where do you see your career in 5 years?
Wow.
See, they're better at this than I am.
Yeah, they are, man. Fucking hell, that's crazy. I think I just want the community to be growing continuously every year. Like, as I said, as I've always said, man, I'm not asked about record sales. I just want to play stadiums. I want to have stadiums everywhere of a community that is strong and that can't be ignored. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I think just to grow the community more, and fingers crossed, in 5 years we're in stadiums everywhere, all of us.
So what is some songs that you listen to when you're not obviously playing your own that your fans would be surprised that you listen to?
Oh, well, dope, man. I love Daniel Caesar. If you're Daniel Caesar, it's like this, I don't know, man. He's like the modern Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Almost. He's kind of cool, but he's like hip hop.
Nice.
A kid called Lewis Capaldi is a singer-songwriter. He's our mate from Scotland. He's a funny, he's so funny. He sounds like Shrek. But his voice is like, he's in pain. His voice is incredible. That'd be surprised. Wow. I usually listen to quite a lot of rock music and hip hop. So yeah, I'm trying to like think about not the obvious one. Daniel Caesar, Lewis Capaldi. I love Jesse Reyes, Billie Eilish. Yeah, man. To be honest, I'm usually pretty open. I always post about it all the time. I love a girl called Greta Ray from Australia.
Okay.
She's like a singer-songwriter. I like soft music too. It's not always like...
If you could, this is a good one. I can't take credit for it, but if you could go back and talk to your 14 or 15-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Wow. Fuck me. Buckle up, because it's going to be a really big fucking ride.
I like that. So I'll end on the question that pretty much half the kids asked.
Yeah.
When can they expect new music?
Oh, fuck it. I want to release new music at the start of next year.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for much more from Youngblood. This is Jackie. Thanks to Substream Magazine.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.